Yeah, it's under Fulbright call on this phone. Bill?
Yeah.
Who was that fellow that introduced me down there at Hot Springs when you were in such great distress and danger of being defeated and didn't get but 92% of the votes?
Bill Mitchell.
I want to appoint him on the Civil Rights Commission. You reckon he'd take it?
He might. He's a good fella. He's been
there. I want a man that'll be a Southerner, that's able, and can take care of himself, but just won't be a damn vicious like the governor of Alabama.
Oh,
but
no.
Look,
he's,
here.
He's a very moderate, intelligent fella.
Intelligent. That's the best introduction I ever had.
Yeah. Been president of the Arkansas Bar. He's a prominent lawyer there.
Has he got any flies on him or troubles or anything with McClellan or anybody else?
Well, now, not that I know of, but I can make a little inquiry. I mean, he hasn't taken a really strong partisan position, you know, out front. If he does, it would go way back beyond my knowledge. I don't think so. I can make inquiries.
Well, I just want to be sure he's all right with you, and I'll call John, because I just don't want to point anybody on something like that. But I want a Southerner on it, and he impressed me.
He's a very solid, moderate fellow. And that's a difficult position, whether or not he wants to do it or not.
Well, he probably wouldn't want to, but we got to have somebody. Dick Russell don't want to sit on that commission with Warren, either.
Hey, I thought Dick's performance on television was more
understanding than you could do.
I would have thought.
Well, I didn't see it, but everybody here has bragged on it all day, and I could just kill them for not telling me about it. But I hope you thought my position on Panama was more acceptable than you had thought in my television appearance day before yesterday.
Well, that's very good.
I just said I'm ready anytime, anywhere.
That's the thing you said, and I...
Well, I've been saying it every day since it happened, but...
Well, it didn't appear that way.
Well...
I mean, the implication of what you said yesterday, not only was I, but the interpreted it a little broader, you know.
It's always been broader. I said I vote for a wage and hour act when I came here, 38 to 25 cents an hour. Last year, I had to pay $1.25 an hour. Things change in 30 years. But I'm not going to have them say that we're going to withdraw our relation, we're going to invade the goddamn zone, we're going to kill your soldiers, and then we're going to tell you ahead of time that you sign where we tell you on the dotted line, even if they are as big as St. Louis. I'm going to be fair and just and right with them. But
well, you put it very well.
All right, you just stay with me and we'll do all right. We're going to work out Cyprus and it'll be over tomorrow, I hope. And we think that we're making progress on Panama, and we think we did some good with Cuba. And I just had your friend Harold Wilson in tell me what a great guy you were.
How did you like him?
Well, I liked him good. I think it was all right. He's a little bit, I'm not sure I want it more than him.
Well, we don't have any choice, but if we do have him, I want him.
I think that's exactly right. That's exactly, I did it the same reason you did last night,
looks like the polls and everything indicates we'll have him anyway.
That's right.
Well,
although when Hume was here, he's 11, and he denounced us on Cuba, and he's up to 6 now, just 6 there.
God damn. Isn't that a hell of a note? They all got to denounce us in order to get elected. I guess that we used to do that with the Yankees, so I guess.
I heard you denounce the Yankees. The most able statement I ever heard you make, boy, in the State Commerce Committee one time about how they'd screwed the South all these years.
Yeah.
You were there looking out after these little gas boys.
Well, we did all right till they ran up to the high of the White House.
Well, tell Betty I love her, and I'll see you.
Well,
you
take
think,
care of yourself. How you feeling?
I couldn't feel better. And I think we're doing all right. I think we got a good thing working for us, economy-wise, our tax bill. And I think we got prosperity, and our market hit over 800. And I'm rather pleased. And the thing I'm worried about now is they tell me that some of our boys are afraid our unemployment's going to get down under 3%, and we may have inflation. I don't believe it, but I guess a little inflation is good for you in election year, isn't it?
Yeah, I wouldn't worry about that yet. I'd worry more if you got
it. Well, the report I got tonight from an economist was it hit below 3% unemployment. And, the boys in New York say that the capital investment's going to be over 20%, and they estimated 10%. And everybody believes in the government, and they're not harassing them and not investigating them too much. And they're getting ready to go to town.
Sure.
So maybe we can, if we can just get our foreign policy straightened out. Now, of course,
yeah, I get that damn Vietnam thing. Not any hope on that?
Well, we got about four possibilities there. Yeah. Run there and get that.
That's the most difficult one, I think, at the moment.
The only thing I know to do is do more of the same and do it more efficiently and effectively. And we got a problem out there that I inherited with the lodge.
Right.
I wire him every day and say, what else do you recommend?
I want to
take 1 minute here to read you what I think is the best summary of it we have, because I had it this afternoon for some folks I talked to. In Southeast Asia today, the free world is facing an attempt by the communists of North Vietnam to subvert and overthrow the non-communist government of South Vietnam. North Vietnam has been providing direction, control, and trained cadres for 25,000 Viet Cong guerrillas and the 60,000 to 80,000 irregulars engaged in harassment, systematic terror, and armed attacks on the people of South Vietnam. 2, our objective. Our purpose in South Vietnam is to help the Vietnamese maintain their independence. We're providing the training and the logistics support which they cannot provide themselves. We will continue to provide that support as long as it is required. As our training missions are completed, certain of our troops can be withdrawn. In December, 1,000 men came home. This group included 2 military police units whose airport guard duty had been taken over by Vietnamese that we had trained for that purpose. Therefore, there's no reason to keep our police there when we had Vietnamese that we had trained for that purpose. 3, the current situation. In the past 4 months, there have been 3 governments in South Vietnam. Each of them has appointed its own cabinet members, its own provincial governors, its own senior military leaders. The Viet Cong have taken advantage of the confusion resulting from these changes by raising the level and the intensity of their attacks. They have been using larger forces and more powerful weapons. This increased activity has had a good deal of success. Strategic hamlets formerly under government protection have been lost to the Viet Cong. Roads formerly open to free movement have now been closed. On the other hand, the Viet Cong fatalities have been very high. The unfavorable rate of 3 or 4 Viet Cong killed for every Vietnamese has continued. Although 20,000 Viet Cong have been killed during the past 12 months, their strength has remained approximately level through the receipt of cadres from North Vietnam and recruits from South Vietnam.
Yeah.
Now, in other words, we've killed 20,000, they've killed 5 in the last 12 months. At least 4 alternatives are open to the United States tonight. We can withdraw from South Vietnam. Without our support, the government will be unable to counter the aid from the North of the Viet Cong. Vietnam will collapse, and the ripple effect will be felt throughout Southeast Asia, endangering independent governments in Thailand, Malaysia, and extending as far as India on the west, Indonesia on the south, and the Philippines on the east. That's number 1. Number 2, we can seek a formula that will neutralize South Vietnam a la Mansfield, de Gaulle. But any such formula will only lead in the end to the same results as withdrawing support.
Yeah.
We all know the communist attitude that what's mine is mine, what's yours is negotiable. True neutralization would have to extend to North Vietnam as well. And this possibility has been specifically rejected by the North Vietnamese and the Chinese communist government. And we believe if we attempted to neutralize, the communists would stay in North Vietnam, we would abandon South Vietnam, the communists would take over South Vietnam.
Yeah.
3, we can send the Marines, a la Goldwater, and other U.S. ground forces against the sources of these aggressions. But if it do, our men may well be bogged down in a long war against numerically superior North Vietnamese and Chi Com forces 10,000 miles from home. Four, we continue our present policy of providing training and logistical support for the South Vietnam forces. This policy has not failed. We propose to continue it. Secretary McNamara's trip to South Vietnam will provide us with an opportunity to again appraise the future prospects of this policy and the further alternatives that may be available to us.
I think that's right. That's exactly what I'd arrive at under these circumstances, at least for the foreseeable future.
All right. Now, when he comes back, though, and we're losing what we're doing, we got to decide whether to send him in or whether to come out and let the dominoes fall. And that's where the tough one's going to be, and you do some heavy thinking, as a little Jewish boy said.
Yeah.
Do some heavy thinking. Let's decide what we do.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right on.
Give Betty my love.
You will. I'm a ladybird standing up.
Yeah, she's just... She and my two daughters are against the White House. They want to go back to Johnson City. They say it's too much strain.
I would agree with them.
Well, I'm going home to eat dinner now. I'll talk to you. Good night.
Bye.